business end?
No, I would say it's always a little bit less, you know. Maybe it changes like before the final, because final you feel like it's the last one and you can, you know, give 100%, and it's always, you know, kind of packed with pressure and expectations, you know, from the outside. But no, I would say that the beginnings of the tournaments are a little bit more tricky, and later when you're just, you know, you can just kind of play your game because you also feel a little bit more, and yeah, just getting into the rhythm is the toughest part, and then it kind of you kind of have to just progress a little bit, but keep it, you know, good, and that's all.
You face Beatriz Haddad-Maia now. You faced her in Toronto. So how much do you think this match is going to be different, considering it is different conditions and different surface? And how do you feel about the matchup, especially mentally? Because during the tournament, Bia has been showing a lot of mental strength, and so were you, as usual.
Well, for sure, you know, she's the fighter, and she showed even today that she's fighting to the last ball, and it pays off. So for sure, you have to kind of be ready, even when you feel like you're bleeding or whatever. You have to play every point 100%. We played in Toronto, and I would say actually this was one of the matches that had similar conditions in terms of the wind. It was also windy that day, but obviously surface different. So we'll see. I've never played against her on clay, and again, as before any other match, I will kind of focus on myself and what I want to do on court.
Hi, you said on court that you were kind of happy to have a bit of a tougher match because you hadn't been on court that much over the tournament. I mean, do you get worried maybe if you have gone through a little bit too easily coming to the latter stages, especially if maybe a slam?
Well, I wouldn't say worried, but as I said, like after last match, I can work with it and play well anyway, I think. And it happens sometimes on tournaments where I was winning matches pretty easily and then I just continued, you know. But I feel like in terms of, you know, having this couple of tougher situations and really important points, you're just not going to feel rusty, you know, when it happens again. So I didn't feel rusty today anyway, but it's good to have the experience anyway.
Iga, there is a phrase, you can't mix business with pleasure. Can you enjoy yourself when you are winning matches and moving through the draw, or is it just about taking care of business?
Oh, well, I would say I'm that kind of player who still has to kind of learn to enjoy, you know, playing and winning, because when I finish matches, I usually just think about the next one, you know. And the moments of enjoyment are usually after the tournament, but I hope I'm going to progress because we play many tournaments throughout the year, and it's I already learned how to also, you know, just be happy with my, you know, as for example today, I'm not going to think about tomorrow's match till the rest of the evening, and I'm just going to enjoy that I won. So these are these small things that kind of help you keep more positive attitude and energy. So but usually with me, it's all about business, and then I'll enjoy.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 12 local time, broadcasting live from Paris and bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Set point. Zverev as he serves into the net. Jocelyn says James and the Giant Etcheverry.
I think we're getting a little loose.
Yeah.
I think we're getting a little loose on the puns.
But I like it.
Yeah. Great book. I enjoyed it.
Second serve down the tee to the forehand of Etcheverry. He tries, thinks about running around his backhand, but he can't because backhand up the line from Zverev is good. Hacked back in by Etcheverry, who gets the lob up. Zverev moving back quick. He lets the ball drop. It drops long. He punches his fist. The first set in the bag for Alexander Zverev. The number 22 seed takes it 6-4.
Now he's ready.
Let's clip
the tape. It's landed inside the box. So he has got another first serve. The sun is out in force again. Zverev, of course, is a long way behind his baseline, waiting at an angle, swaying from side to side. The first service to his backhand. He makes sure he gets the ball into play. Big forehand from Echeverry to the forehand of Zverev, low and over the net. Echeverry looking to push here. And Zverev's gone wide on his backhand side. And Thomas Martin Echeverry, in his very first Grand Slam quarterfinal, has leveled things up. They've been on court for an hour and 35 minutes. The first set went to the German, the number 22 seed, by 6-4. But back comes the Argentinian, taking the second by 6-3. Yeah. Nothing that Echeverry could do about that. And it's set points. Excitement for some, encouragement from others. A serve from Zverev. It's another very good one. It comes back into play, but it's a simple put away at the net from Sasha Zverev. He's rebounded really well after the disappointments for him at the end of set number two and the start of set number three. He's righted the ship, and after 2 hours and 22 minutes, he leads by 2-1.
He missed it by inches, and it is match point to Alexander Zverev. After 3 hours, 22 minutes on court, Philippe Chatrier. Serve down the tee is good. The return's going to go long and wide. And Sasha Zverev is through to the semi-finals of Roland Garros for the second straight year, the third straight year. Last year he had the horror show of having a terrible injury. He has rubbed that from his mind. He is through to the semi-finals again. A nice embrace with Thomas Martin Echeverry at the net. Some nice words from Zverev to the Argentinian, who's had a great, great Roland Garros. But it is Alexander Zverev through to the last four once more. And he roars his delight to the crowd.
Sasha, congratulations. Unbelievable effort. How important is it to go on court knowing that you play against an Argentinian, that he loves red clay? Plus, he didn't drop a set in the whole tournament. I don't know if you were aware about that or you just focus on your game. Good job.
Yeah, thank you. He's playing incredible tennis. You know, he reminds me a lot of Del Potro, the way he plays, the way he hits his forehand especially. So he's an incredible player. He's very young. I think if he continues playing like this, he's going to be, you know, in the quarterfinals here a lot more often, that's for sure. But I think he can be top 10. He can win big tournaments. And he proved it this week. And to be honest, I hope nothing but the best for him. And hopefully he can continue this way.
Nice words. How much did it change your routines, the fact that you played day sessions? The other day you were saying that you like to sleep long when you play night sessions. So it did change a lot, or even the conditions, did you find like difficult to adjust?
I mean, the conditions during the day are better for me, and that's for sure, because the ball is a lot faster, the ball bounces higher, so I think the way I play tennis on clay, I love to play on clay, but, you know, faster conditions are definitely better. But, I practice every day during the day, so the adjustment is still more for the night session than for the day sessions, but, you know, on and all, it doesn't matter. I'm in the semifinals for Roland Garros, I'm happy about that, and there's nothing else to talk about.
I have two more questions, if you allow me. The first one is, when you are sitting here at 5-4 serving for the match, even if you've been on that position many times, still difficult to don't think many things on your mind?
Yeah, I just had to remember that I have a pair of balls as well that I can use, you know, so sometimes that is that's the only way to go, but the 5-4 game, I thought, was incredible from both of us. I think he was hitting the ball extremely hard. I was hitting the ball extremely hard. So, in the end of the day, I hope I deserve to win. So, I don't know what to say, to be honest. I'm just happy to be through.
And to finish, I don't know if it's a question or it's a recognition, but I'm sure that most of the people here in the tennis world, they love that you are back where you belong, into the semifinals of Roland Garros, Sasha.
Thank you. Yeah. as I said before, it was the most difficult year of my life, for sure. You know, I love tennis with all my heart, and I love the competitiveness, and that's been taken away exactly 1 year ago. So I'm so happy to be back on the stage. I'm so happy to have the opportunity to play four final for Roland Garros title again. And yeah, I mean, I'll see you guys after tomorrow. I can't be happier. Thank you.
Sasha, we let you enjoy your moment. Have a nice rest. Good luck for the rest of the tournament.
Thank you, guys.
Mesdames et messieurs, Sasha Zverev, qualifié pour la demi-finale de Roland Garros.
Considering everything you've been through, this semi-final must feel a bit sweeter than the other ones you've got through to at Grand Slams.
Yeah, maybe looking at the history of last year a little bit, but I'm in the semi-final of a Grand Slam. I'm happy to be in the semi-final of a Grand Slam anytime that I'm there. But of course, for me, you know, the term is not over. I'm happy to be here, but I know that hopefully I have two more matches ahead and they're not going to get easier.
Hi, Sasha. Obviously, you didn't have an easy start of the season after your big injury. How do you explain, like, everything seems to be clicking right now in Paris?
I don't know. As I said before, it was definitely a tournament that I marked on my calendar this year. And I'm happy to be playing the way I'm playing here in Paris. You know, I'm extremely happy with how things are going. But as I said, the tournament is not over yet. There's still potentially two very, very difficult matches ahead, and I'm looking forward to that.
Could you break down the possible challenges of Rune and Ruud, please?
Yeah, I mean, Ruud has been there before. He's been in the final here last year, so he knows exactly what it means and what it takes. And Rune, I mean, he's a very young, up-and-coming guy, who I think is playing extremely well, especially on the clay court surface. You know, he made the final of Monte Carlo, made the final of Rome, so that speaks for himself, kind of. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one for them tonight.
When you approach the semifinals of a major, is it a different mindset that you have compared to any of the other tournaments? And is it going to be different this year because of the history of the last 12 months?
I don't think about it anymore. I'm going on court to win tennis matches. I'm not thinking about what happened last year. I have to talk about it a lot, obviously, and that's fine. That's everybody's job. But I'm here to win tennis matches. I'm here to go deep in a Grand Slam. And of course, it's different. I mean, the tennis consists out of Grand Slams. You know, tennis Grand Slams are tennis history. That's what you play for. I think the two most important things in tennis are Grand Slams and the Olympic Games. And when you're in a semifinal or a final of either of those, I think that's very different than being in a final of another tournament.
Ready? Radio Roland Garros. Night sessions.
Let's start.
Radio Roland Garros. Sessions on Radio Roland Garros.
Wonderful! Second set point. Oof! Gosh, that was big.
And the other glaring stat early on here, 5 winners from Rune, 17 unforced errors already.
Ouch. Second set from Ruud. I was very deep and very good, and there's the set, a fist pump. That's all it took, 27 minutes. Set point 5-2. Set point number 3. Serve down the tee, snap back again. The forehand cross court to the forehand of Rune. That is deep, but it finds the line. It's slightly short. The off forehand from Rune. The no pace ball from Rune. And Rune then with the forehand spins it down the other wing. And the backhand defensive from Rune. And then the inside in from Rune. This is great defense, but eventually breaks down. And an hour and 4 minutes on the clock. Gasperi, the fourth seed, last year's finalist, has a 2-sets-to-love lead. Set point. Missed serve. Hits the net post. Bobbles back to the ball boy, who scurries across the court. Second serve. Ranjan takes the forehand. That was a big decision by Ruud. It backfires. And we have ourselves a match on our hand because Holger Rune takes the third set by 6-3. Serve down the tee. The third match point in this game. Inside in goes Ruud. It is long from Holger Rune. And Casper Ruud earns his first top 10 win at a Grand Slam. And he books his spot in Friday's semi-finalist, last year's runner-up. There's a pretty nice embrace between the two at the net. But it's Casper Ruud coming into form at just the right time. Many people have this as the quarterfinal. And for Rune to go through, but it's the Norwegian who'll be back. The Norwegian will take his place in the semi-finals. And he's done it. 2 hours and 44 minutes. Coming through 6-1, 6-2, 3-6, 6-3.
The Roland Garros set. This podcast is brought to you by MasterCard.
It is a sight we will never get bored of seeing. Paris in the early evening sunshine together with a Roland Garros that is full of life. It is day 11 and we are one player away from completing the 2023 semi-final lineup. So with that in mind, here is what we have for you on this evening's show. It's back-to-back Roland Garros semi-finals for the world number one. Beatriz Haddad-Maia continues to rewrite history. And they meet again on the Parisian clay under the lights on Philippe Chatrier. It is our final night session that we have for you this evening. The music will suddenly get louder behind me. You'll start to see the court filling up. And for the players, and right on cue, the music starts to get louder. But in terms of the players, their build-up began as follows. And that was arriving on site earlier today. We are going to do it in order of when the players arrive. So this was 3:20 this afternoon for last year's finalist Casper Ruud with his team. He's the fourth seed here. The earphones in so he can just be in his own world and focus on his own thoughts. And there's quite a lot of his team to get themselves through security. Casper Ruud this evening is going to be taking on this young man. Now, he is just 20 years of age. There's his mum in the background. It is, of course, Holger Rune. Now, this was 12 minutes past five that he made his way into Roland Garros. Once again, going through the badge checks. It's a second consecutive quarterfinal. It's only his second appearance here at Roland Garros. It's going to be a lot of fun a little bit later. And as always, we will build up to the night session throughout the course of this show and then bring the players out at the end before we leave you. But before that, let's run through the action from the day, going in order of how it took place. And it began on Philippe Chatrier at 11 o'clock this morning. And first up was seventh seed Ange Jabeur in a third meeting with Beatriz Haddad-Maia, the Brazilian. Now, in terms of the first set, they did trade breaks. But in this game, it would be Jabeur who would regain the advantage and get what would turn out to be the crucial break, because she would go on to serve out the first set in 43 minutes, both in their first Roland Garros quarterfinal. Now, the second set, this was the longest set of the three. I feel like a spoilsport there, that we would go on to have. And this one would make its way into a tiebreak. And Haddad-Maia has shown such fighting qualities throughout the course of this tournament, battling back from a set down. And she was looking to do it for a third match running. So this would go to the tiebreak. And she would turn around a horrible record that she has in tiebreaks. She would then go a double break and three love up. Jabeur reduced the deficit. It was quickly restored by the Brazilian, who would go on to take the win after 2 hours and 29 minutes on her second match point, breaking the serve of Ange Jabeur to secure her place in her first Grand Slam semi-final, to become the first Brazilian woman to reach the Roland Garros semi-finals in the Open era. Before Roland Garros, her Grand Slam record was 1-7 and lost 11. And she's the first Brazilian to reach a Grand Slam final since 2001. And she has spent nearly 13 hours on court. That shows you the resilience. And finally, the tour form that Beatriz Haddad-Maia has shown in recent months is being translated to the Grand Slam stage. We will be hearing from Ange Jabeur very shortly, who reached her first quarterfinal here. But let's start with the winner on court, Beatriz Haddad-Maia.
In Grand Slams, we have the chance to recover for one day. So even when I played more than 3 hours, I had a day off, and I have an amazing team. My physio is here, so we could work very hard also in the body. My coach also in my mind. So, yeah, I think this is tennis. We work all year long to be in this moment. So, yeah, I remember that in the middle of the second set, my coach showed me the clock, and I looked, it was 1 hour and something. I said, okay, maybe we have until I have ahead. So, yeah, I had to be patient. I had to keep doing the shots because, as you said, she's a pretty good player. She's one of the best players in the world, even in the clay court. So I'm very happy and proud of me and my team today.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a great tournament. I honestly wasn't expecting to be in the quarterfinals, especially this is kind of my first tournament after being injured. I think it was good. I was trying to push myself until the end, but I think pretty satisfied with the results. You always want to push for more, but I mean, hopefully next time will be better and no more quarterfinal here at the French Open.
Next up, it was a repeat of last year's Roland Garros women's final in a seventh meeting, and it was always going to be a tough ask for Coco Gauff, who was 0-6 against Iga Świątek coming into this match, and she had not taken a set from her. And as you can see there, that trend carried on with the pole. And they did trade breaks early in the first set, but it was Świątek who was able to assert herself on this match and give herself the advantage, a two-time champion at Roland Garros, 2020 and 2022. Her win-loss record, Świątek, for 2023, she's 132. She was looking for her 33rd win of the season and just 6 defeats. Something she'd also been doing was sweeping aside her opponents. This was the most games she had dropped in a match on her way to securing herself back in the Roland Garros semi-finals. That would be 15 games she would concede in just 5 matches to reach her 4th Grand Slam semi-final in her last 6 Grand Slams. That's back-to-back semi-finals for Iga Świątek here. I think it was also being watched by Arsene Wenger in the crowd. That was also for Świątek, her 25th career win against a top 10 players. Her numbers are already pretty good, and she is just 22 years of age. She is a defending champion. We'll hear from her shortly. We'll also hear from Coco in press, but let's start with the winner on court.
Well, for sure it wasn't easy, you know, especially first set was really tight, and Coco was really using the conditions here, so I'm pretty happy that I was able to kind of work on it and just win this match because, yeah, quarterfinals are sometimes, you know, the toughest matches, but we'll see what's going to happen further in the tournament. But for sure, Coco, you know, she's already been in that place, so even though she's young, she's experienced, and I'm pretty happy to be in a semifinal.
I tried to change up a different way how I played. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I didn't win, so it didn't work. But I think on certain points it did. But yeah, I have to figure something out. I think I had a couple chances to maybe go up in the scoreboard. A couple break point opportunities. You know, little points can always change the momentum of the match, and she takes care of the details well, and it's something that I do good too, but it's obviously against her. I need to do even better.
Now, finishing a short while ago was the first of the two men's quarterfinals taking place today, and the first of the facing in Zverev, a very difficult opponent, because Zverev has the experience. He's been to a Grand Slam final. He's been to Grand Slam semi-finals here. But Thomas Martin Etchery at 49 in his first Grand Slam quarterfinal gave a good account himself, although it was Sasha Zverev that would take the first set, but it was nip and tuck all the way with an early break for Etcheverry before Zverev was able to assert himself to close out through the first set. But the shoulders didn't drop for the 23-year-old from Argentina, who is 49 in the world at the start of the tournament, and he leaves here with a new career high of 31. He also has a dog named Roland Garros. He was able to level things up and split sets with Sasha Zverev. Zverev looking for a third straight Roland Garros semi-final. And it was a really, really great set of tennis, that third set that he would close out. He knew at that point he was in the ascendancy and is able to start to take control. Great play from Zverev. And it has been throughout the tournament. You remember the injury here a year ago, but he's banished that from his mind. He's had last three night sessions, but he was back during the day. It's his fifth Roland Garros quarterfinal. He's now won three and lost two. It was his ninth Grand Slam quarterfinal. And with this win, he was through to his sixth Grand Slam semi-final. It's his eighth appearance here at Roland Garros. Now, this is the bottom half of the men's draw. And Sasha Zverev is going about his business very, very nicely. A bright future for Thomas Martin Echeverry. But this win was about this man and that roar. Sasha Zverev, the 27th seed, getting the job done earlier today, booking his place in the semi-finals. And after the win was complete, he spoke with Alex Kurecha on court.
I mean, the conditions during the day are better for me, and that's for sure, because the ball is a lot faster, the ball bounces higher, so I think the way I play tennis on clay, I love to play on clay, but, you know, faster conditions are definitely better. But, yeah, I mean, I practice every day during the day, so the adjustment is still more for the night session than for the day sessions, but, you know, on and all, it doesn't matter. I'm in the semifinals for Roland Garros, so I'm happy about that, and there's nothing else to talk about.
Time now to show you the points that caught our attention on day 11, and I think you will agree it was well worth highlighting.
Bon, 2-0.
You're enjoying the action. I hope you're enjoying the music behind me. The crowd are, and everyone around me is swaying from side to side. This is the build-up to the final night session of 2023. And in terms of the players who are going to be in that night session, you have seen them arrive. Now let's take a look at what they did afterwards. And for Casper Ruud, there was actually a bit of a gap between arriving and going to the gym at 4:30, flanked by members of his team. And it's something we see quite a lot of before they go out to practice. They will warm up the body and get the legs loose on the treadmill. There's also a big plasma screen in front of him if he wanted to keep an eye on the tennis. Now, in terms of his opponent, they didn't cross over in the gym at all, because Rune arrived and then was pretty much straight away into the gym. Patrick Mouratoglou, part of his team, to his left. So he's watching the tennis. He's having a little loosener. And a little bit later, we're going to see them both and we're going to hear from them when they were out on the practice court. And there's the famous stretching bands, getting the body ready to go. So we will hear and see them a little bit later in practice. Now, I really hope you've been enjoying our Never Have I Ever series and the questions that I put to the players at the start of the tournament. And the good news is this evening, we have some more revelations for you.
Yeah. Who is that?
Hugo Humbert.
No way, really?
I probably have. But it's, to my defense, it's not like maybe a birthday gift or a Christmas gift. It's more like maybe if I get a gift from the tournament here in Roland Garros, like a T-shirt.
No, I don't do that.
You're sure, yeah? Not even a tournament gift, something?
Oh, of course, tournament gift. But this is to make my friends happy.
I have. I mean, Roland Garros, last year I had like 10. Not 10. I didn't have enough room in my luggage.
I don't know, 5-6 for sure.
Okay. It's not too, we've had more, so that's
good. Ah, yeah?
Yeah.
What? No.
Ah, si, si, si. Ah, si, 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 yes, yes.
How many?
A lot. But all the Grand Slam.
Yeah.
Because I like to give some gift to my friends.
Lots of towels have been taken. Now, a little bit earlier, over on court Simone Mathieu, which is this beautiful sunken court surrounded by the greenery and the greenhouse, the mixed doubles final was set. We're going to go in order of the matches as they were played. First up, the Japanese-German combination of Miyu Keitu and Tim Puetz. Now, they're an unseeded pair who haven't faced a seed, and importantly for them going into the final, they haven't yet dropped a set, and it was pretty comfortable in the end for them against Middlekoop and Suk. Giardi, the delight on their faces because they are through to a Grand Slam final. In that Grand Slam final tomorrow, they're going to be facing the pair of Bianca Andreescu, former US Open champion, and Michael Venus, who won here with Ryan Harris in the doubles in 2017. They came through the semifinals, you can see there, in straight sets, but that was their only straight sets win of the tournament. They are also unseeded, and Andreescu has said of playing mixed that it's really, really helping her game and that she expects to play more in the future. So congratulations to both pairs. They contest that final tomorrow. Lovely to see the smiles on their faces. Now, before we fully turn our attention and focus to the final night session, here for you a roundup of the best moments from day 11.
If you want to be the best, you have to beat the best.
Yeah, I think this is tennis. We work all year long to be in this moment.
For sure, you have to kind of be ready. You have to play every point 100%.
Your day session highlights. Now, for the final time this year, we welcome you to the Roland Garros night session. And what a match to conclude them with, a rematch of last year's quarterfinal. And that was a little bit spicy and it was a little bit feisty. Casper Ruud, who is the fourth seed this year, against Holger Rune, who is the sixth. And we cannot wait for that. And we're going to hear from both of them very shortly. Let's start, though, with practice. And let's start with Casper Ruud. You saw him arriving. You saw him head to the gym. Now, he went out on the court, too. You see all the spectators. 5 until 6 was his hour of warm-up. Runner-up here last year, 50 wins on the clay this year, that title in Estoril, just getting himself into the right form to come into Roland Garros, but he's looking for his first ever top 10 win at a Grand Slam. Would you believe he's 0-6, Ruud, and he's 0-3 here at Roland Garros, but he's faced some big names when he's played here at Roland Garros, including last year's final where he lost to Rafa Nadal. And once practice was complete, we were lucky enough to get a few words with Casper Ruud.
It's going to be fun, hopefully, and it's going to be a big challenge for sure. We are both playing well, I guess, this tournament, and it's going to be, yeah, like you said, a fun rematch from last year. It's very, very good for the sport, especially in Scandinavia, that we have two quarterfinalists, and yeah, we're going to try to bring our A game, both of us.
Now, it was court 3 that you can see Holger Rune behind Tim Patrick Mouratoglou making their way for his practice session. This was a little bit later because, remember, he only arrived just after 5. Then he went into the gym and then it was straight out 5.30. Sort of does things like he plays tennis in quite a hurry, 5.30 to 6.30. Just 20 years of age for clay, though. 1-16, lost 3. He's got the Munich title, but also in the Masters 1000 series, he was runner-up in Monte Carlo and Rome. His second appearance here, his second quarterfinal, and he's looking to be the first Danish man to reach a Grand Slam semi-final since 1967. He's doing wonderful things at the age of 20. He can be a bit feisty, but he definitely wasn't when we got a few words with him after practice.
Well, it's an unbelievable atmosphere already. You know, it's great to see all the kids and all the fans here, so I'm super excited to go out there and have fun tonight.
So you're going to play against someone you know very well. That's a rematch of last year, but this season you managed to beat him. What did you learn from this victory?
Yeah, I think I did more of the right things to be able to beat him last time. But for sure, you know, I have to be ready for him to change tactic at any time. So just prepare as much as I can now and go and enjoy the moment.
He certainly should enjoy the moment. The night sessions are very special. Now, it's worth taking a closer look at their head-to-head because it's all been played out on one surface. We'll be right back. play. And I think the intriguing thing is that Rune won their most recent meeting coming into Roland Garros. That will have given the Dane a lot of confidence. But it's Casper Ruud, who's a former finalist here and the elder of the two. And we know how it turned out last time. So can you imagine Casper Ruud, Holger Rune under lights is going to be a lot of fun. Now, as we like to do, we like to mark your card for the next day. Maybe you're coming to Roland Garros. Maybe you just want to plan your schedule in terms of what we have for you. And it's a slightly later start. It's a midday start. Now, we've run you through the mixed double pairings, and that final starts at midday. And then it's all about the women. So it's a not before 3 o'clock start. Now, this is a second meeting between Karolina Muchova and Aryna Sabalenka. Sabalenka, the second seed, still in with the chance of being the world number one. She has to better what Iga Świątek does. She takes on Muchova, who was 43 in the rankings when she came into this championship. She's gone up to 19 in the live rankers. She is playing some great tennis. They last met in 2019, so I'm not sure how much you can really look back and reflect on that previous meeting. That will be followed by a second meeting between the world number one and defending champion Iga Świątek taking on Beatrice Haddad-Meier. Beatrice Haddad-Meier won their previous meeting. That was in Toronto 2022. Look at the temperature. 28 degrees. Hottest day so far. The sun is shining. Spectators are still milling around. Even if they don't have a ticket for Philippe Chatrier, they're having a drink, they're going to the shop, they're just enjoying the tennis. There's also the Place du Mousquetaire, a massive screen where they can sit and enjoy the action as it unfolds. And that is the sight that you can see that I have behind me of Philippe Chatrier that's going to be, I'm sure, full to the rafters once everyone makes their way in, because it's the final night session. And as Sasha Zverev said earlier, he prefers playing in the day in terms of his game. There is something so special. We saw what happened with Carlos Alcaraz last night. He said it was the best tennis he has ever played for 80% of that match. And now to the tunnel that takes on a different look in the evening. There are lights, a little bit like a nightclub corridor, as the players just have the final few words with their teams. It's going to be interesting to see the experience of Ruud. We've got to remember with Casper Ruud, it wasn't just the Roland Garros final last year. He reached the US Open final, and I remember being in the corridors of the Arthur Ashe when he came off having lost that final, and all there was congratulations from his team for a superb year. They're a very close-knit team. He's got his father alongside him in a team that's been with them for a long, long time, but it's their time to depart as Holger Rune makes his way in with Patrick Mouratoglou and the rest of the members. And we saw Holger Rune's mum a little bit earlier. She'll be up in the box. She sometimes gets a little bit of his wrath if he's not happy, but they make their way out. And once they have left, you will hear the announcement, and it'll be Holger Rune, the lower ranked of the two players, that will start the walk along the corridor, up the stairs, and out onto Philippe Chatrier. Special moment, and here it is for you, the introduction of the players for the final night session of 2023.
Alors, on compte sur vous. C'est parti. Match comptant pour les quarts de finale du tournoi messieurs Roland Garros 2023. Premier joueur n'a que 20 ans, il est 6e mondial, il a remporté le Rolex Paris Masters cet automne. Il est danois, voici Holger Rune. Il rentre accompagné par Jeanne. Et ils sont opposés au numéro 4 mondial, double finaliste en grand chelem dans l'an passé ici à Roland-Garros, le Norvégien Casper Ruud.
It's a wonderful ovation for both players as they make their way out behind me onto Philippe Chatrier. We're moments away from the final night session action from getting underway. It is going to be a fun final. You can follow it via the Roland Garros official social media channels and by the Roland Garros website. And right now we are building up to that match on Radio Roland Garros, and we will have ball by ball commentary from the first ball to the last. So enjoy it, but make sure you join us at the same time tomorrow when our women's final from 2023 will be set. Until then, enjoy the action.
The Roland Garros set. This podcast was brought to you by MasterCard.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 12 local time, broadcasting live from Paris and bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 12 local time, broadcasting live from Paris and bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Jabeur in front of us.
Oh, ace.
Serves an ace that flies past Beatrice Hadashmeyer to bring up set point. That was well timed. How she'd love another one now. Where's she going to go with this? Up goes the ball. She's going down the middle. It's pushed back into play by Hadashmeyer, but it's a short ball. It's got back, is it? No. Hadashmeyer behind her baseline, red, where the smash was going to go. She did get racket on ball, but she couldn't guide it back into the court. And that means that with exactly 43 minutes on the clock, Ons Jabeur has taken the first set in this first women's quarterfinal of the day, third in all by 6-3. It's all happening here. Jabeur has saved two set points on her serve, but now Beatrice Hadashmeyer has an opportunity to close it out on her own serve.
She's going to go wide, you know it.
Oh, yeah, and she pulled out of her service motion just then because of that. Now she has served backhand reply from Jabeur. Forehand down the line, winner! Beatrice Hadashmeyer! We're going into a decider.
Very soft serve, backhand to the backhand swung cross court and deep from Jabeur. Jabeur with the backhand placed down the line. The pickup from Hadashmeyer. It's a mid-court ball. Jabeur should deal with it. She's placing. There's no pace on these balls. She's placing this ball in. She is moving the Brazilian around. She's got a mid-court ball again. She overhits it. And Beatrice Hadashmeyer is in shot. She has her mouth open, her hand on her head. The box absolutely delighted. With this lovely young lady at the age of 27, Ons Jabeur makes her way around the net and there's a hug between the two. It is a lovely sight to see. It was a very different Ons Jabeur we saw in that third set as she walks very slowly back to her chair. But this applause is all about this young lady, 27 years old, who's become the first Brazilian woman to reach a Grand Slam semi-final since Maria Bueno in 1968. Incredible. And for the third match in a row, she has come from a set down. And listen to the noise.
Bia, congratulations. Amazing effort. The first thing you did when you won the last point is put your hands into your face. You can't believe it, you just won. So we can just say, good job. You just reached the semifinals here. The first female Brazilian in the Open era. To play Ons is such a difficult opponent because she's a great tactician, but you hang in there, especially in the second set where you just reached the tiebreak and we were thinking, I don't know how you're going to handle because you came from an almost 4 hours match the last round. So how did you recover physically and emotionally from that?
Well, first of all, I would like to thank everybody who came today to support me, especially the Brazilians. I think In Grand Slams, we have the chance to recover for one day. So even when I played more than 3 hours, I had a day off, and I have an amazing team. My physio is here, so we could work very hard also in the body. My coach also in my mind. So, yeah, I think this is tennis. We work all year long to be in this moment. So, yeah, I remember that in the middle of the second set, my coach showed me the clock, and I looked, it was 1 hour and something. I said, okay, maybe we have until I have ahead. So, yeah, I had to be patient. I had to keep doing the shots because, as you said, she's a pretty good player. She's one of the best players in the world, even in the clay court. So I'm very happy and proud of me and my team today.
And women's tour, everybody hits so hard. So tactically, is it completely different? Is it more difficult to play against someone that she does a lot of drop shots? She forces you to come into the net many times. Also, you being lefty, you know, you can open up the court very well. So how did you use a little bit your mindset to prepare against someone that is very difficult? And by the way, great sportsmanship from Ons at the end of the match, giving you a hug.
Yeah, as I said yesterday, she's a very nice person, and this is means a lot for us as a women tennis player. She represents us not only on the court, but also off court, so she's a really nice girl. And I know her, she's juniors as well. So, yeah, not easy to play against her. She's tricky. Sometimes you do a good shot and you expect that you're going to have another shot to go, and then, okay, drop shot, winner. So, yeah, you have to be patient. It's not easy to keep the rhythm with the shots also in 2-3 hours. So I always believe in my body. I always believe that the match is long. So I think that was the key. I was trying to keep my game and not think on her head. And yeah, I think it worked.
It worked very well. We don't want to keep you long here because you need to recover. They need to play some more matches. Parabéns. Muito contento para você.
Merci beaucoup. Hey.
Beatriz Adad-Maia, qualifiée pour la demi-finale de Roland-Garros.
You have defeated a lot of top 10 players before, but this is the first time you've defeated a top 10 player in a Grand Slam and the first time you reach a semifinals. How are you feeling right now?
Well, I'm feeling happy for sure. The last time we played, I lost 6-3, 6-love, so it's not easy to step in on the Châtrier for the first time. I didn't play there before. And yeah, to play against a very competitive player as she is. Also, I knew that she could make me like a few drop shots, and I was trying to be aggressive. So yeah, I'm happy that I could keep trying to improve my tennis, keep trying to step in to go forward. And I'm happy with my also mentality today because I had to be very patient and to wait for the opportunity. And yeah, I'm proud because of that.
Looking at your face on that match point when it all finished, have you ever been in a state of shock and disbelief as you were right at that moment?
No. I think it was one of the biggest and special wins for me. Also because, yeah, Jabeur is a player that I respected a lot. And it's very tough to come and, yeah, to go for it. Because one thing is to win a set. One thing is to have 5-3 and serve. And one thing is to go and win the match. So, yeah, I was very proud. And I think my face showed that, yeah, I think hard working, it works sometimes.
And how do you stay at that level going into the semifinals? Looks like it'll be Świątek. Maintain that without having a bit of a drop after a big result like this.
Yeah, I think during my career I had also moments like this when I reached the first final for a Master 1000 and also my first WTA final when I was for the first time in the top 20 when I won my first big tournament in doubles. So I think every step we pass through make us stronger. So yeah, I think now I will take care of my body. My mentality keeps the same. I already played
against Iga as well. So we need to still wait. Tennis is long. If it was my match, even if it is set and 4-2, the match can change. Everything can change very fast in tennis. So I'll be ready. And yeah, I'll take care of my body, my things, and try to keep the same mentality tomorrow.
If you could just give us a little addition about the challenge of playing Iga and how you will convince yourself that you can win.
Yeah, well, we played once, and it was last year in the middle of the year. It was three sets, and I won in the end of the match. So it's a very tough one. She's the number one in the, and she's one of the best players we have from the last year. She's young. She's a nice person as well. So, yeah, she already won twice here. I'll try to enjoy. I'll try to play every single point. I'll leave everything on the court. And, yeah, I have nothing to lose. I'll try to go for it and do my best shots and think about the things that I need to improve as well.
Radio Roland Garros.
Game, set and match.
Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 12 local time, broadcasting live from Paris and bringing you ball by ball commentary, exclusive interviews and all the very latest news.
Serve sits up. It's crunched by Świątek. Goes back to the backhand of Świątek, who adjusts herself and goes cross court. This is set point. Backhand is pushed very, very deep. Finds the line. Mid court ball. Cross court winner. And Iga Świątek breaks Coco Gauff to love to take the set in 47 minutes by 6-4.
And it's given Iga Świątek, the world number one and the two-time champion, defending champion here, two match points. This is what it's like playing Świątek. It's cruel, isn't it? She's played well, Coco Gauff.
She
and
has.
It's 6-4, 5-2, 15-40. But as you said, she's got to take the positives. She's still out there. It's not over yet.
Merci.
Gauff serves. Again goes out wide. Świątek hammers it forehand into the net from Gauff, and it's over. It's done. Iga Świątek pumps the air, punches the air several times as she walks towards the net to shake hands with Coco Gauff. A nice handshake between the two. A lot of respect there, but it is the world number one who marches on her inexorable way, it seems, towards another Roland Garros title. Very, very much the woman to beat, as she puts her hand to her ear to see who wants the ball that she's got in her hand, and then she plays it up into the stand. But she is looking very, very sharp here at Roland Garros once more, chasing a third title, and who's to say she's not going to be lifting the trophy come Saturday afternoon.
Iga, once again, huge congratulations to you. You played a very solid match today. It was not easy. Coco was playing extremely well, but you really tied up your game when you needed to. How was overall your feeling on the court today?
Well, for sure, it wasn't easy, you know. Especially first set was really tight, and Coco was really using the conditions here, so I'm pretty happy that I was able to kind of work on it and just win this match, because, yeah, quarterfinals are sometimes, you know, the toughest matches, but we'll see what's going to happen if further in the tournament. But for sure, Coco, you know, she's already been in that place, so even though she's young, she's experienced, and I'm pretty happy to be, you know, semifinal.
As you said, Coco was playing really well. She was playing very aggressive. She tried to come a lot to the net today. It was windy. It's not sometimes easy to hit a lot of passing shots. How did you adjust to that?
I guess, you know, passing shots, you're kind of never going to play them perfectly, but it's all about instincts. I guess you have to kind of guess where your opponent is going to be. But, well, yeah, for sure, you know, she's pretty tall, so she can reach a lot of balls. But I just tried to be solid, you know, and remember that even though she's going to catch it, I can run to the next one. So I wanted really to play without pressure and just go for it.
Iga Iga, you have an incredible record here at Roland Garros. You won already the title twice. You're once again in the semi-final, but this time you won't have a day off. You have to play the semi-final tomorrow against Beatrice. How would you prepare for that one? Is it a different preparation or you just same with the same routine?
Oh, no, like the same, you know. We play many tournaments during the year where we have to play day by day, but I'm pretty fresh because, you know, as you saw in previous matches, I didn't really spend too much time on court, so I'm actually happy that today was a tighter match and I'll be ready no matter what. And, you know, not having a day off was something that I knew since the beginning of the tournament, so I'm kind of ready for this situation.
You have gained so many fans year after year here. You can see once again today the center court, all the flags from your country. I'm sure you have a little word to say to this crowd as well.
Thank you guys for coming. I really enjoy playing in Paris. I'll work on, you know, throwing balls to you because I think the stairways caught it instead of any of you guys. But thank you for coming and hopefully see you tomorrow.
We will see you tomorrow on the court. Mesdames et messieurs, merci une fois encore d'applaudir Iga Świątek, qualifiée pour les demi-finales de Roland-Garros.
Iga, well done, back in the semifinals. Obviously a rematch of last year's final. What was different about today, do you feel, in the way you played and also the way Coco played?
Well, I think tactically it was a little bit different. But also, you know, the conditions, because Coco, I think, used the wind a little bit more. And last year, I don't think it was windy on the final, but I don't really remember. For sure it was more tight in the first set. So I'm pretty happy that in those important moments, I was the one that was solid and I could put a little bit more pressure on Coco.
Congrats, Iga.
Thank you. Does
it still feel for you like an achievement to get to this stage? Or has it started to feel like, okay, but I'm just playing for the titles?
Oh, no, come on. It's never like that, honestly, especially on the Grand Slams. So I'm pretty happy to be, you know, in the semifinal again on Roland Garros. And it's a great achievement, you know, no matter how the tournament is going to finish. Semifinal is really, you know, great result, especially, you know, coming into the tournament as a defending champion. It puts a lot of pressure on you. So I'm pretty happy that I can show consistency and just play good here every year.
You're always so conscious of where your emotions are. As you've gone through this tournament and gotten to the later stages, are you feeling the pressure increase as it has at other tournaments in the past, or does it dissipate a little with you because you've gotten through the early rounds and now you're into the business end?
No, I would say it's always a little bit less, you know. Maybe it changes like before the final, because final you feel like it's the last one and you can, you know, give 100%, and it's always, you know, kind of packed with pressure and expectations, you know, from the outside. But no, I would say that the beginnings of the tournaments are a little bit more tricky, and later when you're just, you know, you can just kind of play your game because you also feel a little bit more, and yeah, just getting into the rhythm is the toughest part, and then it kind of, you kind of have to just progress a little bit, but keep it, you know, good, and that's all.
You face Beatrice Haddad-Maia now. You faced her in Toronto. So how much do you think this match is going to be different, considering it is different conditions and different surface? And how do you feel about the matchup, especially mentally? Because during the tournament, Bia has been showing a lot of mental strength, and so were you, as usual.
Well, for sure, you know, she's the fighter, and she showed even today that she's fighting to the last ball, and it pays off. So for sure, you have to kind of be ready, even when you feel like you're leading or whatever. You have to play every point 100%. We played in Toronto, and I would say actually this was one of the matches that had similar conditions in terms of the wind. It was also windy that day, but obviously surface different. So we'll see. I've never played against her on clay, and again, as before any other match, I will kind of focus on myself and what I want to do on court.
Hi, you said on court that you were kind of happy to have a bit of a tougher match because you hadn't been.